Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being here with us. A little bit sour mood. Not really a mood. We're all in pretty good moods, but just kind of a sour taste left by another weekend in Colorado. Just the taste of stale Coors. I know it well. You had way too many, and you wake up and you go, yep, I know that taste. And we'll talk about that, certainly. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
I couldn't disagree more.
Really?
Today's a great day.
Today's a great day.
We don't have to play the Colorado Rockies anymore.
For the rest of the year.
In the year 2024.
I swear to God, if I ever see that team again, it will be too soon. To my left, Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, bud.
Good morning, everybody. I just had a thought. You know, the last person to use this microphone that I'm speaking into right now?
Is it extra sweet because this is against the Dodgers?
Was he on that mic or was he on that mic?
I think he was on this microphone. Yeah, because he was logged into my computer this morning. Had to log him out, log myself in. And yeah, he was on this mic doing the post-game show yesterday. I did not catch the post-game show.
Pre and post.
He did the pre also. But
yeah.
The last thing that was done on this microphone was the post-game show yesterday.
I'll say this about our beloved Adam Klug. Right. So we're talking about our boss. He's the brand manager here at 97.3 The Fan. And I tweeted yesterday. I still made myself laugh so much. He tweeted yesterday. All right. About to get it done. I'm doing pre and post today. It was his first time doing it. And I tweeted a gif of this dude rubbing his hands together, kind of looking like, oh, here we go. We're going to get you. I was driving to the Tier 1 game and I was too nervous to listen. So and also, I'm trying to get fired up for a baseball game. The last thing I need to hear as I'm trying to get fired up is, hey, call me if you want to. So I just, and I was nervous for him, and so I just go, I can't do it. It's like kind of like watching your kids play sports. That's how I felt with Adam on the mic yesterday. Now, I will submit to you this. If he had said, you have to do pre and post or you're fired, I would have said, well, I quit because I can't do it. I'm pretty good at this job. I can't do pre and post. I would be a train wreck. It would be one of the worst things you've ever heard. So I fully submit that.
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit.
I can't. I couldn't do it. I listened to Sammy a couple weeks ago, and I went, oh, my God.
You don't have to do it like he does. You can put your own spin on it.
See, but I'm tired of putting
it's
my own spin on things.
Structured.
It's so structured. That's the problem. There's 100
that's
sponsors.
That's what makes it easy.
No, that's what makes it hard for me.
It's read this line into this feature, talk about yesterday's game.
I can't now do it, dude. I can't do it. You know me.
Around the league scoreboard check brought to you by this sponsor.
You guys both know me. I would miss four of those things. It would throw me into a tailspin. So I submit that it's very, very difficult. Rafa says Woodsy's a diva. No, I'm not saying that I wouldn't do it. I'm saying that I'm unable to do it. I don't have the talent for it.
It's, you just said you would rather quit than be made to do the pre and post game show. Though.
Because I wouldn't want to embarrass myself because of my lack of ability doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not what I'm good at. This is what I'm good at. Coming in and shooting the breeze, chewing the fat.
And I'm sure that Adam felt the same way. He didn't think that that's what he's good at. He was simply the last choice. And a depleted bench that had to go in. It's like Jeff Van Gundy putting himself into the lineup for the Knicks. Doesn't want to do it. You know, it's probably about the same size as Jeff Van Gundy as well.
He's the Bryce Johnson.
Same amount of hair as Jeff Van Gundy.
He's the Bryce Johnson of this radio station. No, but I will say this. Now, Paulie pulled some clips. I haven't heard them yet. Ben hasn't heard them yet. I'm going to say this about Adam, though. I've worked in radio for 15 years. Adam Klug is miles and miles away, above any boss we've ever had. And it's not close. And I mean, up and down. The dude is the first one to get in the foxhole with you, the metaphorical foxhole, because there are real soldiers that have gotten in real foxholes. This isn't a real foxhole.
You're right? Probably listening right now going, oh, yeah, guys, yeah. Tell me more about
your tough radio foxhole, guy. That's not what I mean. I'm sorry. It's a bad... we can't use those descriptions anymore. He will get in the trenches with you. That's
same
a word.
Thing.
No, it's not. Different. Trenches are different. What if we're digging a trench around my house for a moat? He'll get in there and do it with us. He will do it with us. He will always, always be there if you need him, right? He's filled in for you. He's filled in for me. He's filled in for Paul. He's done it all.
It took some courage to jump in and do the pre and post game show
no
yesterday.
Question.
No doubt about that.
No question. No, no question at all. So I do submit that. That Adam is the first guy to say, all right, I'll be there if you need me.
I just don't know a whole lot of bosses, at least in this industry, that would do that.
Hell no. No.
Program directors.
No chance. No chance. There's none.
Here's the thing. 99.9% of program directors, they haven't done this before.
Correct.
They don't know what they're talking about.
They don't know what they're talking about. So I don't know how it went. We will hear that today, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
See how that went. I know our boss, Michael Valenzuela, was very excited to see how he did as well.
So what I did is I only watched the pregame show. I watched on YouTube as I was getting ready to head out to our Tier 1 baseball game. I'm sure we'll talk about that as well.
We don't have to.
And then I listened to the second half of the pregame show on the drive. And so I pulled the first like 3 minutes, like his opening monologue. And then I did pull a flub.
Oh, he had a flub. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I think he even wrote in the YouTube chat, he's like, Ben and Wood's going to have fun with that one tomorrow. We're always watching.
He is the best. There's nobody like Adam. And appreciate him jumping in. Yeah, we got some people just down, man, under the weather right now. So you got to do what you got to do, certainly. But he's a mensch, man. He does stuff like that all the time. So just big shout out to Kluger. And for always being there for us.
Appreciate it. I really do.
I thought you meant you appreciate it. I was thanking him.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. That he's always there for
yeah,
us.
Yes. I appreciate it, too. Yeah. How was everybody's weekend, regardless?
Good.
Yeah, it was good. Wrapped up the staycation. Shaved after they lost on Friday. So, you know, it did work on Saturday. They got the win after I shaved, but then back to the loss yesterday. So, beard is gone. Back to clean-shaven Ben, and it was nice. Yeah, relaxing weekend, work yesterday, but you guys have a good weekend?
Do we stomp the roach out now? Is he done?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, keep rolling?
I think you keep rolling with it. Every roach gets one series off, so. Hey,
back at it tonight, guys.
If they have another bad series, then maybe the roach is done. But
yeah, we'll stomp his ass out, man. Yep. That was a rough one. No, we had a good, normal... You know, psychotic weekend with two little guys, and Taylor starts back to school tomorrow, so that's a big, big day for us. But it was pretty low key. We played ball yesterday. Paulie just brought it up. It's our first loss in like 20 games, and it was jarring.
Like, actually,
it stung. 5-4, and not that the other team didn't play well enough to win, but we certainly gave them plenty of opportunities, gave them plenty of outs, kicked the ball around. We had two guys picked off third, which is something I don't think I've ever seen in a game. And that's the beauty of a dull ball. One guy just kind of fell asleep on his walk back to third, and they looked down and picked him off. That was a lot of fun. Then the next guy was actually my non-runner. I hit a double, and he came in to run for me because I'm old and slow and creaky. And he got to third and vomited everywhere. So he was vomiting. And
so he only had to go from second to third.
Yeah.
Allegedly called time.
Nobody heard him. So he steps off the bag. And the guys just walk over and go, boop.
Like,
and
I don't know if you're out for throwing up or out because you're off the base.
Perhaps
but you're
the
out.
First person ever to be tagged out while vomiting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. He's fully in vomit. So that was a lot of fun.
Sunday League. The definition
it's
of
the
Sunday
definition
league.
Of Sunday League. He was throwing up all over the place. So that was cool.
Yeah. And after running 90 feet.
Yeah.
We had a guy show up while he was on deck.
Yeah, he was on deck as he showed up. I'm like, you're on deck! Our buddy Kyle. Figure it out, man. Come on, bro. So, yeah, very Sunday league game. Kind of skeleton crew yesterday. But again, you know, no excuses. We got to win that game. We had plenty of chances to do it. Just sucks, dude. You do see stuff I've never seen before. We got Chippy with the other team, too. got a little chippy, a little back and forth, which I'm never mad at a chippy game. Kind of like the chippiness. Paulie got a little lippy at the end. It was great. It was great. We had a great time. I mean, honestly, we showed in a 5-4 loss, we showed a little more fight than our San Diego Padres did, I think, in a couple games this weekend. But yeah, man, just was not. It's not our favorite place to play, and by ours, I mean the Padres playing in Coors Field. I said it last week. I know I was kind of a wet blanket about it, and that's the reason. This is the reason I was a wet blanket about it. This is why I wanted you to hit me over the head with a hammer and wake me up today, and then you would have said, "Woodsy, wake up! Hello, hey, what's up?" We lost 2 or 3. Yeah, I would have said, you know what I would have said? No, S, we did. Of course we did.
How do we win one?
How do we even win one against that team? And the funny thing is, man, is like, now you can't even blame anything on Coors, really, other than maybe Matt Waldron's lack of knuckleball. That's it. But he'd already pitched there and pitched well. So, you know, do we realize that it's a beneficial park for us to hit in also? That's the other thing. It's like, man, it's so hard to prevent runs here. Why? Well, because you score a lot of runs. Well, we don't. We didn't. So it makes me insane.
I think it's pretty simple. They just don't play well against that team. They don't play well there. I don't think they'd. It's not that they don't take it seriously.
No.
I mean, if that's the case, at some point you would have learned your lesson, but
yeah,
that's not it. I mean, they certainly knew that they'd have their hands full when they got there. They just don't play well against that team for whatever reason.
I'd love to hear candidly from a Mike Schilt, a Ruben Niebla, hell, even a Skip Schumacher, somebody that manages a game, is very much involved in the inner workings of a major league team, and go, what do you chalk it up to when you say a team just has your number? Because the Rockies just have our number, at least this year. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean,
no,
baseball, but baseball
feels
is
like for several years now,
is ultimately about matchups, batter versus hitter. It's about the matchups. And while one team may generally not succeed against the majority of Major League Baseball, it's possible that there is a bunch of guys on one team that just don't face other guys on that same team well. And, you know, the results don't make a lot of sense, but it happens in Major League Baseball all the time, where a team that's at the bottom of the standings just happens to own one of the teams that's near the top of the standings. It happens literally every year. In fact, if you looked at probably every team this year, they've got their nemesis, whoever it is.
You know what's funny is I feel like we did this exact segment last year when we got bodied by the Colorado Rockies. And I was like, you know, when you look back and the Astros won the World Series, they only won, you know, 3 out of 12 against the whoever. And I think we've done this before, but, you know, man, the streak and the run that this team was on, it's just kind of a bummer to come in here this morning. It doesn't take away.
It's still
away.
On, by the way. The streak that they're still on. Like, they're still playing good baseball.
Well, I mean,
20-6 since the All-Star break is fantastic.
No question about it. No question about it.
It's the best record
in
baseball.
The run's not over.
No.
They still literally have the best record in baseball since the All-Star break. So you wouldn't want to trade with any of the other 29 teams right now for their record since the All-Star break.
Yeah, for sure. There's just one of those. It's just they've got your number, man. And I don't know the answer. Certainly, if I did, they would hire me and pay me a good amount of money to go in there and learn how to beat the Rockies. But it just was not meant to be. This weekend. So we'll talk about all of that and then some. It's good to be here with you guys today. Certainly, it is a Monday. We're trying to get our heads right. You know, we got a huge week here, man. Huge week at home this week. Huge week with some good baseball teams coming in. So it's going to be another big one.
Speaking of that, we've got tickets to give away on the show today for tomorrow night's game against the Minnesota Twins. It is the Manny Machado Collectible Pin Night. You can get more info at Padres.com/giveaways, but that is coming up on the program today. We will set the menu for what else we have coming up for you in the next 3 hours and 45 minutes. We'll get to that coming up in our next segment. Kelly's got some traffic, and we are underway. A new week. Start right over with the Minnesota Twins today with your San Diego Padres. It's Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What an apropos, an appropriate song. Good times, bad times. You know I've had my share as it pertains to our baseball club. Bad times this weekend, I'd say.
Fair.
Yes.
Not the best, but, you know.
At least we won one. At least we did not get swept.
Didn't come through like they've been coming through all season. Padres went 4-for-24 with runners in scoring position.
It's not very gritty.
Baseball's best team, still the best team with runners in scoring position in all of Major League Baseball. Unlike last year when they were number 30 for most of the year, I think they finished 29. This year they've been number one for most of the year and are still number one. But this weekend they didn't come through. A lot of opportunities. They have a normal weekend with runners in scoring position. They win at least two of those games, if not all three of them. But they did not come through with runners in scoring position. I mean, pretty clear. Did you see me? I got a tweet back from Tony Gwynn Jr. yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was it a good one?
I don't know if he was mad at me or what.
I'm going to guess yes.
Yeah. 100%. I pointed out that even at Coors Field, it's tough to score much when your 1-2 hitters go 0-for-9.
Yeah.
Still not going to complain about Orion Profar considering all they've done this season.
That's a very innocuous tweet.
And then Tony Gwynn, how about 0-for-7, which is what the Rockies did yesterday from their 1-2 hitters.
Ooh,
and I said, well,
let's break this down.
They didn't score much either.
That's true. They did not score much either.
They only scored 3 in the game yesterday. Padres scored
just one more.
2. They just had one more, and it came on an unearned run that the Padres gave them because of the David Peralta error out in right field.
It's so weird because I was actually in a pretty good headspace until I clicked on the mic. and then it all started to hit me. I'm like, he's lost 2 or 3 to the Rockies. Son of a bitch. They got us again. I was in you know what? I saw Craig Elston's tweet that was like, hey, we've beaten the Dodgers 8 times, or we've beaten the Dodgers, what was it?
7. Eight? They're 7-3 against the Dodgers.
Yeah, 7-3 against the Dodgers, and the Rockies have beaten us
5-8 against the Rockies.
8 times. So flush it and move on. And I think that is the right, I think, that is,
if you flip those around, it would make a lot more sense.
Yes.
But the record would essentially be exactly the same.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right.
But
yeah,
it does,
one of those teams that you just feel like, I don't think they, I really don't, I've seen max effort from these guys all year. I really have. I really have seen as much effort as I've ever seen out of a Padres baseball team. Sometimes they're going to beat you. You know, they're a big league team too. So I'm not tipping my hat because I don't have one on today, but I'm glad it's over with. I'm glad it's over with. I'm glad we don't have to face them again, man. I'm glad there's not another 3-game set at the end of the year against these guys. Could you imagine the last 3 games needing them at Coors Field to do something, you know, spectacular? I'm thankful for that this Monday.
Well, the problem, as you know, the season will end in Arizona with 3 games against the Diamondbacks, which could be very critical. But the real problem is that the season is going to end on a Sunday, which continues to be. Dub J asked, what's the overall Sunday record? I went back and looked it up. Potters are 8-13 on Sundays. So they're 20 games above 500 on the other 6 days of the week.
Crazy.
8-13. But it gets even worse. They actually were 6-3 on Sundays to start the season. So since then, they are 2-10 on their last 12 Sundays, which means since that point, 8 games under 500. And they were about 5 games under 500 at that point. So they're essentially 23 games above 500 on non-Sundays since the middle of May. And otherwise, they've been one of baseball's, if not baseball's, best team, except on Sundays, which continue to be a major bugaboo for your San Diego Padres. There's no way to overcome Coors Field, the Rockies, and Sunday.
Yeah, it's
all in one package yesterday. You knew a 3-2 loss was coming.
I should have known, man. I should have known. Yeah, I bet them. I bet the Padres.
that was unwise.
I would have made a decent amount of money betting the Rockies yesterday, but couldn't do it.
All right, we'll have our Padres wrap-up coming up in our next segment. Talk about Joe Musgrove's performance. Certainly a bright spot in yesterday's loss. Also about the Ha-Sung Kim injury. Give you an update there and what the thinking could be going forward for the Padres shortstop who came out of that game after diving back into first base and injuring his shoulder. So that'll come up in our Padres wrap-up in our next segment. We will go through the other games of the weekend starting in our 7 o'clock hour. Also play Take on Woods. Give you a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas and tickets to the Carrie Underwood Show. Don't Do This is coming up at 7:20 like always. We do have those clips clips of Adam Klug's pre- and post-game show performance from yesterday. We can get into that in our 8 o'clock hour. Usually we have Sam Levitt on. Sammy's been under the weather. That's why, of course, Adam was doing the pregame show yesterday. I think Ello and Braden did the other two on Friday and Saturday. Hopefully he's on the mend, but we're giving him this morning off to see if we can get him healthy again and back behind the microphone coming up. So we'll skip that. We'll get to a Rindle report at 9 o'clock and get you ready for the Padres and Twins. This whole week, by the way, you mentioned it. It is a big week. Padres are going to be facing good teams.
Yeah, good pitching.
The Twins, the good pitching, especially both the Twins and the Mets. Four games against the Mets. Maybe the biggest four games until the last week of the season, because the Mets are the first team that can still like take the Padres out. They can take, you know, the Braves or the Diamondbacks or the Padres out. They're looking to pass one of those teams here in the last 37 games of the season.
I do not like
and
that
while
team.
The Padres are the furthest from them at this moment. I think the Padres are 5.5 games ahead of the Mets right now. With four this week, they could eat into that big time. They've already swept the Padres once this season in Citi Field, so they'll be looking to come in and do some damage. This is a big opportunity series for the Mets, and it's a danger series for your San Diego Padres. That doesn't start until Thursday. First, though, it's interleague play against a Twins team that continues to just they play good, especially regular season baseball. They've done it for several seasons in a row now, and they'll be looking to continue that over the next 3 days when they come to Petco Park.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a really big week. Obviously a really big week and a big stretch. You still got 15 more games in the next 15 days. So, I thought, and we'll get into the specifics of the weekend about, you know, how the bullpen was managed and some of the, there were some highlights. There's absolutely some highlights from the weekend, some things to be happy about and some things to look forward to, certainly. But again, going to be a big week here on Ben and Woods. Going to be a big week for the Padres. We'll keep you abreast and apprised of everything.
Keegan in the chat wanted to know what happened with Don Orsillo, why he wasn't on the game yesterday. Don went back home for the memorial for his mother who passed away recently. So he's going to be gone for a few days. But so that'll kind of shake up the Padres broadcast booth a little bit. You got Jesse on television yesterday. He and Mudd are a good team, though.
They are.
They really they are. I mean, it's similar, actually, to Don and Mudd. But Jesse has that quirky, kind of sly sense of humor that he brings to the table, and he's not afraid to push back on Mudd also. So
yeah, they're a good
combo. I enjoyed that broadcast.
How nice is that to be able to just interchange? You know, this guy goes here, this guy goes here, and everybody just does a dynamite job.
So, and then Bob and Tony did a good job as well yesterday. I was listening to them on my way down to work, and everyone did a good job. We've got a good crew all the way through. So, but that's where Don Orsillo is, and he'll be out of town. I'm not sure when his scheduled return is, but we just wish the best to him and his family. Obviously, a really, really tough time for the Orsillos right now.
No doubt.
He'll take his time, and hopefully he'll be back and ready to go for the last month of the season or so coming up.
We love you, Donnie.
All right, why don't we get to the wrap-up? Oh. We will take a break. We'll come back up. Talk about yesterday's game.
I don't want to hear it.
It'll be quick. There's not that many highlights.
Not that many
highlights. There wasn't much that happened in that game yesterday. But we will go through it in our next segment with the complete wrap-up of yesterday's 3-2 loss to the Colorado Rockies. That is coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
Can make you feel worse than this.
There's a team down in Cali by the Sunkissed Bay with a nickname from the Padres, but they can't seem to play. Come Sunday afternoon, they just fold and fade away while the fans all sigh, why can't we win today? We got the sunshine, we got the beach.
Yeah.
But when it comes to some days, the wind's out of reach.
Out of reach.
Beer in our hand.
Still better than Morgan Wallen, by the way. Still better.
But by the seventh inning, it's falling apart.
Come on.
Oh, Sunday's just no fun day when we're losing every game.
What can we say? 2-10 in the last 12 Sundays for your San Diego Padres.
3 months.
The song is eerily and unfortunately appropriate on Monday mornings.
It's fantastic, man. Absolutely fantastic.
I mean, the only thing that it was the sixth inning where it kind of fell apart yesterday, not the seventh inning. But other than that, the song remains pretty much undefeated here, unfortunately.
We will
tee up our Padres wrap-up and get into the Sunday non-fun day right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Long hole by Joe. Beck is off and running. The pitch is a line drive into left field. It's going to be trouble. Jurickson Profar is going to have to play it off the wall. Beck is being sent. And it's going to be an RBI double for Aaron Shunk on a 12-pitch plate appearance that gives the Rockies a 1-0 lead here in the third. Jackson Leany, and he goes. The pitch is swung on, line drive towards the gap. This could be trouble, and it's going to go for extra bases. Jackson is rounding third. Tim Leeper is going to send him on an RBI double by David Peralta to tie this ball game up at 1-1. The 1-2. Ground ball through the hole on the right side for a base hit. That's going to score a run. RBI single for Stallings, and now on a bobble in right field. That's going to allow Michael Toglia to head to third base. Rockies with a 2-1 lead on the RBI single by Jacob Stallings. The 3-2 to Hilliard. Swung on, ground ball to the right side. Cronenworth has it. His only play is to underhand it over to first base. The run is going to score from third. The RBI fielder's choice for Sam Hilliard. And the Rockies now have a 3-1 lead here in the sixth. One to Manny Machado. Swung on, driven down the left field line and deep. Going back for it is Beck. This ball is gone. Home run for Manny Machado. Number 19 on the season. And the Padres now trail the Rockies 3-2. First pitch to him. Ground ball fielded by Rogers over to first base in time, and that will do it. The Rockies take the final game by a score of 3-2. They take the series 2-1.
Joe was good. He was sharp. He was crisp. Candidly, the at-bat was Shunk, 12 or 13 pitch at-bat. Took off, a couple outs or an inning away from him. So, we were pleased to get him into the fifth. He was efficient. Stuff was good. Ball was coming out. Fastball was good. Curveball got better as the game went. I thought he was really efficient and left and gave us a chance to win. So did more than his part, and his 1,000th career strikeout. Nice accomplishment for Joe today.
Yeah, congratulations to Joe Musgrove, who, again, looked good in his second start since returning from the injured list and got 6 strikeouts, which after just 1 in the first start, that was kind of the one area of concern, not a lot of swing and miss. Got a lot of it yesterday against the Colorado Rockies, but unfortunately it wasn't enough. In the 3-2 loss, had all the combination, had the Sunday, had the Rockies, had Coors Field, had a pitcher making his, second ever start. That always seems to give the Padres lineups fits in Brandon Blaylock or Bradley Blaylock. I think Bradley Blaylock is the guy that allowed just 1 run in 5 1/3 innings yesterday. Just one of those things that the Padres have had trouble with this season, and it ends up being a 2 out of 3 loss to the Colorado Rockies this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the big highlight from yesterday is obviously Joe Musgrove and him being sharp, him being able to spin it, get some swing and miss, which is just huge. I mean, it's just huge going down the stretch. And again, just like we said after his last start, hopefully he wakes up today. He's going to be a little sore, as he said he was after the last start. And how he pushes through that, how his arm feels. He looked really good. He looked really, really crisp yesterday, and that's what you want. So something to build on. We're still in a really good position, okay? That's kind of the underlying theme, I would say, of today's show, is still in a really good position. And, by the way, got some massive help this weekend from the Tampa Bay Rays. Some massive, massive help. So Padres remain a game above the Diamondbacks after they got swept by Tampa Bay. So, listen, nothing to panic about, certainly. But I think, if you're gonna look at something that happened yesterday and point to that as something that could be problem is Ha-Sung Kim getting injured. And, I know he hasn't had the best season. I know that, there's a lot of Padres fans down on Kimmy right now. I've been down on him this year. Not so much for, struggling at the dish or whatever. Like, hitting's hard. I mean, Shohei Ohtani right now is batting about .180 since the break, okay? And he's, a $70 million a year player. Shohei Ohtani is not hitting the baseball in the second half. He's just not. And that's all he is. That's all his job is to do, is hit. He's a hitter, and a hitter only right now. So I'm not on. The only thing I've been on Kimmy for was a couple of defensive lapses, which, you know, playing defense is tough, and the base running. The base running lapses have been a little bit more than I would have liked. But I think now what I'm nervous about is you didn't like this lineup with Kim in it. Well, wait till you see what the replacement is. And we don't know the answer to that question. And Tyler Wade has done a decent job filling in from time to time. But now you're talking about potentially, based on how Kim's shoulder is feeling. And Xander Bogaerts had a shoulder injury. Ben, how long was he out for? I mean, this potentially is pretty bad news for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, they called it a jammed shoulder. It was in a sling after the game. I guess what concerned me is we've seen Ha-Sung Kim writhing around in agony for 14 seconds and then pop right up and be fine. In this case, there's actually less drama and more resignation as he just ran off the field. He said after the game through interpreter David Lee, doesn't feel too good at the moment, but it all happened so quickly. Not really sure as of now, not too good. He added, I definitely never had a feeling like this before. As soon as the injury happened, I knew I wasn't going to be able to play anymore in today's game. He's scheduled for an MRI today. Obviously, the Padres are hoping that it's not very bad news, but I think you have to brace for the idea that Ha-Sung Kim is going to have to probably at least go on the injured list for a stint. At the very best, you know, out for a few days and hopefully coming back. But the idea that he could play in the next day or two seems extremely unlikely at this moment. And it does give the Padres an issue, which is weird considering how many shortstops they have on their team. That shortstop could actually be the issue for the Padres going forward, but, you know, you can make a lot of suggestions. None of them seems like the perfect answer.
Yeah, I don't think there is a perfect answer right now. And you know, when you saw his reaction to the injury, you can kind of gauge a lot by a player's reaction to the injury. And when he kind of slammed his helmet down into the clubhouse, you went, oh, God, all right, yeah, he's really hurt. Now, he writhes around a lot.
And he didn't really do that.
He's a writher.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it was just more like, all right.
Mad. He was just mad.
I'm pissed because you know. So, him walking out in a sling is not great news. But, hey, listen, guys have stepped up over and over for this team. I don't know who is going to play shortstop, which is a very, very important position moving forward for this team down the stretch here. And, you know, I guess you could put Solano at second. You could put Jake at short. You could put Arise at first. You could put Manny at short, which would be interesting. But you got Manny coming off an elbow injury and starting to play, you know, a little bit better. I know he had a really bad game on Friday, but had a really monster game on Saturday and hit a bomb yesterday. You could put Manny at short. You could put Xander back. Xander also coming off a shoulder injury. I mean, you got enough shortstops, but they're all out of position now at this point, and now they're all a little bit banged up as well.
Fernando Tatis Jr. still seems a few weeks away from potential return, so he's not a short-term possibility, at least at shortstop. So it'll be interesting to see what Mike Shildt does. And speaking of Mike Shildt, it's been a while since they've played so well, but I did have, and I want to get your opinion on a strategic decision that he made in the game yesterday, and it was in the sixth inning, Brian Hoeing on the mound, 1-1 game, gives off the lead triple to Doyle, was it? Brenton Doyle on third base with nobody out. And at the time, they decided to play the run, the infield in to try to cut off the run with nobody out, and it worked with nobody out. They actually got a ground ball, kept the runner at third. But my initial thought was, this is Coors Field. I don't know that you aggressively try to keep just one run from scoring. You know you're going to need to score again at some point. Would it be better to simply play it back? You know, the two runs have happened had they had the infield back at normal depth? Could they made up that play on Jacob Stallings' RBI single? Would have scored the run, obviously, but could they have kept the inning from getting out of hand? Not out of hand, but they, you know, the two runs that scored instead of the one, and played a little more conservative brand of baseball there. I don't know. What did you think about that?
You know, I it's one of those instances that there's something there that tells me that's the right move. It's there. He's not going to do it willy-nilly. There's a reason that he looked at it and went, if we trust our infield defense so much that we think we can cut this run off potentially. Maybe that's it. Honestly, though, I don't know. I mean, it's aggressive, and Mike Schilt's managed aggressively this year, and believes it probably has something to do with the way Brian Hoeing pitches, his pitch mix. You know, what he thinks he can get out of him if everything goes well, but. I don't know that you can just kind of sit back on your heels based on how you've played in Colorado and say, yeah, I mean, we're going to score 8 runs here. The interesting thing, though, Benny, it's in the 6th inning. When have the Padres done most of their damage? The 7th. You know, the 7th, the 8th. They've been a really good late team. I think sometimes you got to roll the dice as a manager and knowing who you're facing, and they're not potent offense either. I think you take a chance, and I have no problem with really. I really have not had a problem with much of the strategy of Mike Schilt this year. I just haven't, and so that's an interesting one, certainly. But
I mean, and this isn't criticism. It's simply one of those kind of 6-1, half a dozen other decisions that you have.
You have so all year many long, of those.
And they're both defensible. Had he played the infield back, just let the run score, tried to make sure that it was just one, though, and not any more than that, because they ended up walking the batter intentionally to try to set up the double play for Stallings.
Yep.
They got the ground ball, just not in the place it needed to be, so it didn't work out. But because of then the bobble by David Peralta, that allowed another run to score on a ground ball that wouldn't have scored otherwise. It's just, you know, one of those consequences that happens when you're playing aggressively sometimes, and it didn't work out, because then the Manny Machado home run, which would have tied the game, instead left them one short, and they were never able to get that tying run across in the 8th or 9th inning.
Yeah, it's just one of those plays. Again, I think you trust your guys, and there's a certain amount of risk as a manager and the moves you make, the positioning of guys. And again, I think there's so many factors that go into it. Would love to hear an explanation on it, because there's a reason that they do everything. You know, there's an absolute reason they do it. I don't know really what it is. I mean, there's some things in baseball, Benny, obviously, you know.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.